Well, we've all learned to live with voicemail or recordings as kind of a necessary part of our life. But can you imagine if God installed voicemail in heaven? Imagine praying and hearing this. Thank you for calling my father's house. I'm sorry. All of our angels are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us and will be answered in the order in which it was received. So please stay on the line. Or can you imagine getting this recording when you call on God? Please select one of the following options. If you'd like to speak with Gabriel, press 1. For Michael, press 2. For directory of other angels, press 3. If you want David to sing you a psalm while you wait, press 4. And for answers to those nagging questions about dinosaurs, the age of the earth, and Noah's Ark, press 5. Please remember this office is closed weekends and holidays. You may reach us during regular business hours, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you need emergency assistance when the office is closed, please contact your local pastor. Our computers have just informed us that you've already prayed twice today. This call is now ended. Beep! What a bummer. No one wants to wade through that kind of bureaucracy when they're trying to reach God, right? I mean, what a blessing it is to us that getting a hold of God is easier than reaching our doctor or our insurance company, right? I mean, if you're a child of God here, you get right in every time, no matter what you need, no matter when you call. Deuteronomy 4:7 says, God is near us when we call. Psalm 34:4 says, when we pray, God will answer. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if we seek him, we will find him. We never have to be afraid of getting into God. He's there, he's ready, he's listening, he wants to help us. So let's capitalize on this precious gift that he's given us and get into that throne room as much as possible. In women's ministries, we know that when you come here, you're going to get some good teaching from the Word of God, hopefully. And you're also going to have a chance with that wonderful notebook you were just given today and your Bible to sit during your quiet time and study and chew on and think through the Word of God. But we want to give you some help and encouragement for that other all-important spiritual discipline in your life. We would like to help you this week, this year, to get a better connection and communication with God on a daily basis in prayer. So before we dive into the Gospel of John, I started to have a brain freeze there, we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke today, and we're going to get some teaching from Jesus, and we're going to listen in as he gives his disciples some instruction. He's going to give them 3 critical elements about prayer. That's from Luke 11 today. We're hoping that this year, not only will you be studying that amazing book you've got in your lap, but that you're going to be having a rockin' time of prayer with the author of the book. That's what we want for you. So let's look at Luke 11 and learn from Jesus how to be a better prayer this year. Verse 1 says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John, that is John the Baptist, taught his disciples. You see, the disciples frequently saw Jesus going off to pray. They saw him pray early in the morning and late into the night. They saw him pray at the feeding of the 5,000, the transfiguration. They saw him at his baptism. He prayed publicly, he prayed privately, he prayed continually. He prayed about really big things in his life, and he prayed about everyday things. Even though Jesus was God himself, the creator of everything in the universe, the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings, he was still dependent on prayer. And that should tell us something about how important it is. If even he, the king, was dependent on it, so should we be. He had a prayer life that was different than anyone else that the disciples have ever met. Think about it. The disciples were Jewish boys. They had grown up praying all their lives, and yet they noticed something in Jesus. His prayer life was fresh. It was personal. It was practical. It was intimate, and it piqued their interest. So one of them came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I can think of nothing better for us to do before we dig in. So would you pray with me, please? Dear Jesus, we need to ask you to teach us to pray. We want to be women of prayer. We want to be women who go to you first and not last or not fifth after we've called everyone else. We want to have an intimate relationship with you, not only for ourselves, but so that we can bring you more glory. Lord, teach us to pray today, please. Amen. So Jesus answers their request with these words. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. These words are sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, and they're also recorded in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. Well, we know from Matthew 6 and verse 7 that Jesus' intention was not for us to memorize these words and repeat them when we go to prayer or when we're, you know, at church. Not that that's a bad thing, but that was not his intention. Verse 7 of Matthew 6 tells us not to repeat phrases in our prayer times. So Jesus must have had another intention here. Well, he was asked to teach them how to pray. So we're going to look at his prayer and see the template that emerges. Jesus was modeling the right things to pray for when he said these words. He was showing us a better way to pray, a more complete way to pray. And that's going to lead us to point number one, which is Jesus going to teach us to pray comprehensively. He wants us to pray comprehensively. You and I need to see Jesus' pattern so that we will pray in a better, more complete, and comprehensive way. But before we pick apart his prayer, we need to take a moment and think about how we're praying currently. What's our prayer life like right now? Some of us here pray for the same five people all the time. Some of us pray very generically, bless this person, bless that person. Some of us only really spend time praying for our husband and our children. And some of us have no real target at all. God, please let there be peace on earth. And if we were honest, there are some of us in this room that other than the few minutes we spend at breakfast and maybe a couple minutes when our head hits the pillow, basically our prayer life is non-existent on most days. Now, there's nothing wrong with simple prayers. It's just that they're not enough. Those prayers are the kind of prayers the kids pray in Kids Club down the hall. Jesus wants something more from you. You're here. You've committed yourself to study the Word of God. Let's commit ourselves to putting more time into our prayer lives, which is just as important as the Word of God. Jesus wants to teach us to pray so that we can do some big girl prayers and we can graduate from the two-year-old prayer room and make some progress. It's time for us to dedicate ourselves to spending more time in prayer and getting our meat into our prayer time at the throne room of God where we get to talk to Him. Now, unfortunately, for some of us, prayer is kind of a check-the-box thing. You do it because you're supposed to do it. It's the right thing to do. I'm really sorry. That is a huge bummer to my heart. And my hope is that this day gets you past that. This day gets you to a place of desiring and longing for it instead of checking the box. Because I can tell you something about godly people in the Bible, and godly people out of the Bible, both places. One of the things they have in common is they share an intimate conversation and relationship with God in prayer, every one of them. Everyone you've studied, everyone you know about has an intimate personal time with God in prayer. So that's what I want for you. That's what I hope today spurs you on to reaching for in your life. One pastor has humorously looked at prayer as a battle between your emotions and your will. See if you can relate to this. He says, I found there was a part of me that didn't want to pray and a part of me that did. That part that wanted to was my will and the part that didn't was my emotions. So I said to my will one morning, Will, are you ready to pray? He said, yeah, let's go. But Will, as Will and I set off to pray, my emotions began to resist and say, no way, we're not coming. So I said to Will, can you make it? He said, yes, I think I can make it. And Will and I worked together and we dragged those wretched emotions off to pray. If you asked me afterwards if I had had a good time, I couldn't have said yes, because it was a struggle all the way. And I could never have accomplished it without Will, because in the midst of my most earnest pleading before God, I noticed that one of my emotions had made their way to the TV, and another one was on their way to the grocery store, and I had to go and race after them and bring them back. It was exhausting, but Will and I did it together, and we brought them back. The next morning, I looked at my watch, and I said to Will, come on, Will, it's time to pray. My emotions began to pull the other way, and I said, Will, can you make it? He said, yes. After yesterday, I actually think I'm a little stronger. The same thing happened day after day, and my rebellious emotions fought Will and I every time we went to pray. Then one morning, about 3 weeks later, I looked at my watch and I said to Will, time to pray. Are you ready? And he said, yes, I'm ready. And I heard one emotion say to the other, come on, guys, we might as well go. They're going to do it no matter what we do. And then a few days later, when Will and I were praying, one of my emotions said, please do it, God. And another said, help me, Lord. Yes. And I knew for the first time that all of me was involved in prayer. It's true. Prayer is tough. It is a difficult thing that we do. Actually, I think it's harder than doing the right thing when you're tempted. I think it's definitely harder than reading your Bible and studying it. It's harder than worshiping God, and it's even harder than sharing the gospel. Having focused, concentrated time with you and God and not letting anything get into that time, it's a tough spiritual battle and one that takes all of our will to accomplish. But I promise you that if you keep at it, you will begin to see God answer your prayers, and then you'll be hooked. When you see that what you prayed for, God brings about in his sovereignty, there's nothing better. I mean, seriously, there's nothing better. I know it's me, the pastor's wife, telling you this, but seriously, there's nothing better than seeing that what you asked for, God did. And you'll want to do it more. And you will want to see your prayers help God's will be done in other people's lives. And you will be awaiting eagerly his answers to what you've asked for. And I know if I pass the mic around, I see people here that I know pray specifically, and they could come and tell you exactly the same thing. And you know what you're going to do then? You're going to ask people if you can pray for them. And then you're going to find out you don't have enough time for prayer, so you're going to get up earlier, you're going to stay up later because you're going to be hooked. And prayer will never be a to-do list item for you again. Because you'll be hooked. You will love it. Well, Jesus wants us to jumpstart our prayer life today, and he's going to give us some help. But first, we have to revise what we pray for. So let's look at what Jesus included. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6 includes. For those of you who are familiar with the whole prayer, you're like, what happened? It's not all here. It is in Matthew 6. Jesus begins by lifting God up to his rightful place as the king. He wants God to get the honor and respect that he deserves. And you and I in our prayer time should make sure that we have a time where we worship God and remember who he is in our prayer time. People have called that category adoration. Jesus puts adoration right up front. And of course, yes, part of it is because it's what God deserves. He deserves the first spot. He deserves the praise and adoration. But Jesus also knows who we are. And he knows that we need to be reminded of God and God's agenda and God's will before we start asking for stuff. So he starts with adoration. The next thing Jesus teaches his disciples to pray for is bound up in these words: forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Jesus wants to make sure before we go any farther in prayer that things are right between God and us. And we need to make sure that that's true in our lives. And we need to spend time in our prayers, I'd say at least thinking through the last 24 hours and doing a spiritual inventory. Of course, it does not mean you wait to confess your prayer till you're actually there. If you know you've done something wrong, you confess it immediately. But at least think through the last 24 hours and take a little inventory of your life. Get specific with God about your sin. And then Jesus reminds us that as forgiven people, we forgive others. No grudges. No record keeping. And we forgive them not because they deserve it, but because we've been forgiven. I mean, look where God puts it. Right after we've been forgiven, we forgive others. That's confession. At this point, we're going to have to take a little excursus from the Lord's Prayer, something that's not here, but it definitely was a part of Jesus' prayer life. We see him doing it all over the New Testament. One of you needs to do the study and find out how many times it's in the Gospels. But we see Jesus giving thanks, always giving thanks in prayer. He does it at the feeding of the 5,000. He thanks God when Lazarus is healed. He thanks God when there's other healings. He thanks God for revealing himself to people. He was always mindful that God is the one who supplies the good things that we have. Giving thanks is commanded in the New Testament. Colossians 4:2 says that we should devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Philippians 4:6 says we should pray about everything and be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says to pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances because it's God's will for you. Don't let Jesus say of us what he said when he healed the 10 lepers and only one came back to thank him. This is what he said: where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God? Thanksgiving definitely needs to be a part of our comprehensive praying. Now, The rest of Jesus' prayer is about asking for things. That category is supplication. And that's what we're good at. In fact, if we could dump all our prayers into a bucket, that's where most of them would land. But Jesus teaches us to ask for things with these phrases. Give us each day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Matthew 6 adds. Now, obviously, we don't usually need help to come up with things to ask God for. We got a boatload of them. But Mike gave us a really helpful nugget at his sermon a couple weeks ago. He was teaching us that we should be praying for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done. And he was encouraging us to let our prayer requests reflect God's agenda instead of our own, and that it would change our prayer life. He used the example of praying for someone's surgery. And he mentioned to us that praying God's will isn't just praying for their physical restoration, but it might be including things while you pray for them, like their obedience to Christ in the midst of their trial, or their testimony for him. And that these things would be encouraging us to pray for things that matter 100 years from now. Do you remember that? I hope so. We want our requests to be in sync with God's agenda as much as they possibly can. And this mindset will radically transform what you are asking for. There's one example of this kind of praying right in Jesus' prayer here. He says, lead us not into temptation. Jesus wants to pray for things that matter to God. And our victory over sin is super important. Remember in the garden, he told the disciples to watch and pray that they might not enter into temptation. Because Jesus knew that our most difficult situations in our life would not be our financial troubles or our health problems. It's going to be evil forces in our world that pull our eyes away from Jesus and into sin. So one of those God's agenda requests that should be on our prayer list all the time is this one, our fight and our victory over sin. Now, we want to make that shift, right? We want to make the shift. We want to start praying things. And probably some of you were already convicted of that at church the other week, thinking, I need to start praying like that. Well, we want to help you do that, right? And we want to do it, but sometimes we don't know where to start, what to do, how to keep it going. So this is your call here, hospitality gals. We have a special gift for you today. It is our gift for you in Women's Bible Study because you've made a commitment to follow after God. Hospitality gals, you can rip them open, just start passing them down. This is our gift to you because we know you're committed to the Word of God, and we want to help you with the other side of your spiritual life. We have revised our handy-dandy prayer journals, and we've made you a purse-sized model for you to take with you anytime, anywhere, and we will have these for sale later, so please don't take one for your friend. If you're here today, you get to have one. If your friend wants one and they're in Bible study, they'll get one. If they're not in Bible study, they're going to be for purchase later. But we do not have enough today for you to take more than one. So please just take one. Thank you. All right, let's take a look inside and see how it works. Okay? I'm going to have you flip open to your first. You have a little tab, right? Flip open to your tab. That's Monday. We have designed this journal with the intention of I'm praying for things that matter 100 years from now. Okay? So let's go through what you will have each day, Monday, okay? On the first page of each day, you will see the Acts format, A, adoration. And we give you a verse and an attribute of God to meditate on. Then C, confession. We're going to give you another verse to think through as you're doing your spiritual inventory with God and being real about your sin. And then we're going to give you T, thanksgiving. We're going to give you something to remind you of what you need to be thankful for. This first one happens to be that God chose you before the foundation of the world. I'd say your salvation is something to be thankful for. But of course, that's the time to expand on that. Thank him for, you know, your home, your bed, your children, whatever you want to thank him for, okay? That you got to come to Bible study today. Okay, next page. Now we're going to move on to the family page. This page is devoted to praying God's word for your family. Remember, we want you to be praying for things that God would have on his agenda for your family. So we're going to have you praying God's word for them. We've made them broad so that we'll apply to a lot of people, okay? But now if some of you are saying, well, I don't have a husband, we still would like you to pray for the men in your life. You have lots of men in your life, your father, your boss, your uncle, your brother, your pastors. Please pray for them. Our men need to be strong and stand for the Lord. If you don't have children, you still can pray for children in your life, your friends' children, your church's children, your nieces and nephews, your students, your grandchildren, all kinds of children that you could be praying these things for. If you're not married right now, I would beg you to pray for your friends' marriages, for the marriages in this church, for the staff marriages. Marriage is under attack in our country. Please, please pray for marriage and marriages of people that you know. All right, let's move on to the next page. The next page is your church family. Your church family. This page is for you to pray for the church and for the people who work at the church, the men and women who sacrificially come here, could be getting more money for, I'll tell you what, a whole lot less grief. But these sacrificial women and men pour themselves out every single day to serve you and me and the high schoolers and the children and give us books like this. Would you pray for them, please? They come with an anytime, anyplace, anything attitude. They need your prayer. This tells you their names and what they do. And some of you say, well, but I don't know them. You're the pastor's wife. You know all them. You know what? It's an effort to know them. It means walking up to them at church and saying, thanks for doing the sound. That was awesome. I know how important that is. And you know what? You'll make a connection when you get to John or Eric. You're going to think through the conversation you had with them and what a blessing they are to our church. Okay? So pray for the people. Then you got a chance to pray for the programs of our church. And they give you lots of info on that. Next page. Praying for our country. We are told to pray for our leaders and for those who are in charge of us. Do we need to pray that God's will is done in our country? You better believe it. This page is going to help you do that. Our elected officials, our Supreme Court justices, those kinds of things. Now, the next page is for non-Christians. If we want God's kingdom to be expanding, then we better be praying for individuals to repent of their sin and place their trust in Christ. This is your chance to put actual names down. But besides individuals, I put things like teachers, coaches, neighbors, school friends, okay? It's time to pray for individuals who don't know Jesus. Then you have family and friends pages. We've given you a couple. And you know I'm the post-it note gal. I just can't get away from it. In the old journal, I had a whole page for each person. So this is my compromise here. Post-it notes for each person. I have three or four people that I pray for every day. Let me tell you the five things I pray, no matter who I'm praying for. The five things I pray for every Christian adult, okay? Their quiet time. Their marriage. And when I say marriage, I mean that someone submits and someone leads, and it's God's roles that are in place in that home, okay? Their quiet time, their marriage, their ministry. What are they doing to serve the Lord? And are they doing it in His power and with His wisdom? Okay? Their quiet time, their marriage, their ministry, their holiness. Are they seeing what God says and are they obeying Him? And lastly, if they're parents, I'm praying that they're shooting those kids out in a godly fashion that would please the Lord and that they won't be embarrassed the day they stand before Him. Those five things I pray for every adult, okay? Christian adult, obviously. Then, and actually just to show you, I have them at the front too. This is my family because I don't want to just pray for them on Tuesday. And the things I pray for my family, I know they have a test or a doctor's visit. I don't have to write that down because I'm going to be praying for that anyway. The things I put on each one of my family members has a post-it note, and I know you would think mine is the pink one, but it's Mike for some weird reason, but there was no intention on the color. But things that I know, every person in your family has a distinct personality, and they have distinct sin issues that need to be dealt with character-wise. One needs diligence. One needs endurance. One needs endurance. One needs self-control, right? So this is my chance to write one person's name and the character things I'm working on for them, and I have one too, and gentle and quiet spirit always makes the list for me. So this is where I pray for other family and friends, okay? Now, how do I know what to pray for them besides those five things? I listen. Facebook, email, when I see them at church, you know, I can see it. I know a lot of prayer requests just by listening. You don't have to say, pray for me. Because you reveal so much when you talk to me. You reveal what you're concerned about, but you also reveal your sin, unfortunately, and so do I. And you could have a huge prayer list if you just listen to me sometimes. So that's where I get my prayer requests, and I ask them. I want my prayers for them to matter to God and be things that God cares about. So that's the family and friends. Then we go on to extra pages. We've included extras because there's going to be things like, I want to pray for this missions organization. I want to pray for this region of the world. I want to pray for this ministry. Or in my case here, my first one is, I got an email this week from Bent that he needs help to pray for his visa to be approved in a country that we're trying to go visit and do a missions trip to. So that makes it on here. This for me is for things that I might not pray for very long, right? And I can, and then put a new one on, okay? So extras. Then we've included, and I have to stop right here and apologize profusely to you. I am sorry, and I apologize for our staff and our church that we did not give you a complete book. But yours book doesn't look like mine. I'm very sorry. You have one pocket. You will, next week, have seven pockets just like I do. But right now, you don't have seven. So just, I want to show you what you could put in your pockets. And I want to ask you, please do me a favor next week. Please bring these books back. Bring this book to your small group time, and you're going to spend 5 minutes, sorry, small group leaders, I apologize to you too, but things happen. What are you going to do? In your small group time, I want you to put in the seven pockets. You can do it while they're walking in, but you're going to have the small group, the small group leaders are going to have the pockets next week. You're going to rip it off and you're going to put it in, but you're going to want to make sure it's nice and tight to the top of the page so the tab shows, right? Nice and tight. Okay, let me show you what I put in my pocket. The pockets are the time for you to spice it up. Please don't tell me, as some people have, well-meaning as they are, I shouldn't say well-meaning because I don't know how well-meaning it is, but this is dry. I've had these journals before. They're so boring. It's just not, I just had to put it up on the shelf because I just couldn't do it after a while. Please don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. This is your chance to make it fresh, to make it exciting, to make it usable for you, to change it up. Put stuff in the pockets that helps it change up for you. One of the things I'm committed to is trying to pray for the widows in our church, and especially the recent widows. So the first thing I do in my pockets is I rip apart the programs that come at their husband's funerals. And I use those pictures just to remind me. And does it happen every single week that I pray for our widows? I got three of them in here. No. But I see those guys' pictures, and I think of their wives who are here without them, and I pray for them. Another thing I do is every weekend you get these amazing, wonderful programs put together by our fantastic communications team, and they have all kinds of wonderful things you can cut up and put in your prayer journal. Men's ministry, women's ministry. I'm not going to go through all of them. I have one for kids ministry. I got the musical, Awana, Fall Fest will go in there soon, kids camps, revival. We don't have those right now, but we would. Then some teaching ministries, Compass on Campus, Compass Night, class where Pastor Pete is teaching. And then on Fridays, I know that's a super big prep day for my husband. So if you want to support your pastor, I can tell you right now, the best thing you could do for him other than smile when you're sitting out there is our wonderful communications team, again, does this. Every single time he has a new series, right now we're in Romans 10 and 11. Every time we have one, they give you this thing that probably goes in the trash for you. Cut it up. This tells you the passage and the title of every single week's sermon. So when I get to Friday morning, I look at where we're at, I read it, and with intention and purpose, I meditate through the passage and pray for him as he preps those specific words to preach to us. Okay. Saturday, this is a character card for my kids to help remember to pray for biblical values for them. And then you all get these. You have prayer lists that you get from all kinds of people. I put them in there too. I do print those more than once. I put them in my car and various other places so that when I have 5 minutes, I'm at the gas station, I have something to pray for that's meaningful. So those are the kinds of things you can do with your pockets. I know people who also put their photograph, the Christmas card photographs that you get, and make their journal personalized by that. But please use this. I know it's just a tool, but it's a tool that can help you pray for what matters to God. And at the very end, we have a new feature, which is really cool, called Answers to Prayer. Now, I was thinking last night or this week, this is just no way enough. Hi, I have this much in 1 week. What are we going to do? I'm going to just be adding post-it notes forever. Every inch of this. But you know what? That will be a testimony to God's goodness, and it will boost my faith and make me want to pray more. That's what it'll do for me. Use these. If you have a great prayer system that's helping you pray things about God's kingdom come and God's will be done, use that. Fantastic. You go, girl. But if you don't, please try this, okay? And bring it back next week. Please bring it back next week. You really want the pockets. And if we give them to you, they'll end up between your car seat and that funky side thing where the French fries fall or something. Or your child will throw them away. Bring them, and 5 minutes, we're just going to zip them off and put them in your journal so that everybody walks out with a completed journal. Okay? Please. All right. Woohoo! Yay, God. Now, comprehensive praying will only get you so far. So Jesus next goes to our attitude with which we pray. Okay? Verse 5 says, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves? For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him, and he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, my children are in bed, I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence or his boldness, he will rise and give you whatever he needs. Give him whatever he needs. You see, in the ancient world, hospitality wasn't just being polite. It was a sacred duty. And if you did not invite a traveler in and treat them well, you were disgracing the entire community. Okay? This was a big deal. So when this guy had someone show up at his door, he ran to his friend's house and started knocking on the door. Unfortunately, it was an inopportune time. It was the middle of the night. And to fully appreciate why that was an inopportune time, you got to remember that most homes at this time were one room. Families ate, slept, and did everything else in that one room, okay? Of course, if everyone slept in the same room and they slept in the same bed, as this story tells us, that knocking would be kind of disturbing, right? Because for the guy to get him some bread, it meant he had to get out of bed, turn on the light, look for the bread, open the door, and you know what? What happens by then? They're all up, right? If dad gets up, they're all up, and oh, especially you moms with young kids, that is not good. You do not want to have to put them all to bed again. So even this gutsy guy, though, did it anyway. Think about it. Even though he knew he was waking everybody up, he still did it. And then when the guy tried to shoo him away, he wouldn't stop. He just kept going. He was bold. He was shameless. He was insistent. And that's going to take us to point number two. Jesus wants you and I to pray aggressively, boldly, right? He's trying to motivate us to be bold and aggressive. He wants us to go to God's throne room and actually pray wholeheartedly. That's what he wants for us. Jesus was impressed by this attitude, and in the book of Matthew, there's a story recorded about a Canaanite woman who comes to him and asks him to heal her daughter. But she's a pagan Gentile. So Jesus politely explains that he's here to minister to the Jews and not the Gentiles at that time. I'm sorry, I can't help you now, basically. To which she replies, Lord, help me, from down on her knees. And he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she says, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And Jesus is blown away by her faith and by her boldness. And because of that, he says, great is your faith, be it done for you as you desire. And he healed that little girl on the spot. Jesus admired that boldness and that faith that she had to ask like that. Now, please don't mistake the grouchy neighbor for God. God is not an ogre, and he is not reluctant to help us either. Jesus is actually tells us in the story, God is exactly the opposite. Jesus says, if your irritable, stubborn neighbor gives in to the pain in the neck friend, how much more will your Father who loves you and is incredibly gracious long to help you and give you what you need? But of course, we know that asking does not always mean getting. But I can reassure you that God does answer every prayer. Sometimes it's just not now, or it's no. But God does answer every prayer. Even Jesus didn't get everything he asked for. You ever thought about that? In Gethsemane, he prayed for something very specifically. He prayed that God would allow that cup, which meant that torturous, horrific death and betrayal he was about to experience. He asked God that he wouldn't have to deal with that issue. But what was the next word on his lips? Not even half a second later, the words that came out of his mouth were, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus modeled for us something really important that day about praying. Remember Mike said it, we need to surrender our agenda to God's in our prayers, which means we need to bring him our desires. We need to bring him what we want, and then we need to humbly accept what he gives us. In order to see whether you're praying aggressively, I'd like to ask you a few questions. First of all, how many minutes or hours do you actually pray for a certain request? How long does that request stay on your prayer list? How into prayer are you? How specific in prayer are you? Because I can guarantee you right now, if you pray for a couple minutes or maybe just a couple days, you're kind of blasé, not really into it, or you're really not pouring it out and being specific about it and, you know, telling all about it, I can guarantee you are not passionate in your prayers. You're not. Look at the guy in our story. He was in no way passive about his prayer. He was aggressive and he was in there. He was all in. This kind of aggressive asking reminds me of what happened at a magazine company in Chicago. They were responsible for sending out those expiration notices by mail, snail mail, and their computer malfunctioned. And one day, a rancher in Powder Bluff, Colorado received 9,734 separate mailings to tell him that his National Geographic had expired. Well, that got the man's attention, and he ran off to the nearest post office, which was 10 miles away, dropped everything and ran off and turned in his money with a note that said, "I give up, send me your magazine." Okay? He was aggressive. They were aggressive. They were enthusiastic about telling him what they needed. Okay, God wants us to be enthusiastic and passionate in our prayers too. I've got three ideas for you to help you do that. Number one, schedule a large chunk of time every day. You want to be more aggressive and bold in your praying? You need to schedule a large chunk of time every day. I would suggest making it early. And the reason why is because before your time gets stolen away, or to me, the worst thing is my good attitude gets stolen away. I mean, I know a lot of you moms, you send your kids up to school and go, "Yes, quiet time, yeah, awesome." Well, I don't know. For me, that doesn't seem to work too well. Because by then, I've had 2 hours and being up, and the sweetness with which I woke up and the innocence is gone. It's just gone, and it's a lot harder to get to the right place. Whereas when I wake up, I'm like, "Yes, God, here I am." So early is better if you can cut it. If you can do it, okay. You also have to have this chunk, because a few minutes driving down the freeway every couple days is not going to increase your passion for prayer. It just ain't going to happen, okay? Number two, be specific, which means have a prayer list. Be specific, have a prayer list. We already covered that. You have a nice prayer list right here, which you are going to personalize with specifics about the people that you have in your life. Enough said. Number three, pray all day long. Pray all day long. You need to surround yourselves with reminders to pray. Plaques, bookmarks, garden stepping stones, whatever it is for you, okay? Post-it notes, my friend, in your changing table area, in your cubicle, whatever it is for you. Remind yourself to pray all day long. Because having prayer is not like sitting at the breakfast table across from Jesus, enjoying coffee and scones or whatever you eat with coffee. I don't drink coffee. So whatever that is, we think of prayer as we're sitting down with Jesus. Yay. You know what? That's a great start. But prayer really is much more like that little thing that you carry around with you every day that you're attached to now forever, your cell phone. Prayer is your cell phone. It's calling, texting, Facebooking, and tweeting all day long. That's what prayer is. It isn't just sitting at the breakfast table. It's an all-day kind of thing, or it should be, okay? It's called praying without ceasing. And it starts with that time at the breakfast table, great, but it continues. It's a continual conversation. It happens at regular intervals, and it happens spontaneously. Let me show you what I mean. If you're a mom here today, I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell it to everybody else too, but you have it easy, okay? And I was you once. You can pray at your quiet time, in the shower, before every meal, before every nap, every time you step out of the car with your children, at every errand that you run, and before bed. And you know what? If you did that, you'd be praying 8 times a day. Did you know that? 8 times a day. That's way more than you thought you were doing. And maybe you've done 2 of those now. You need to push it towards the 8, okay? All right. How about you gals who work? Quiet time, shower on the way to work, before every important meeting or phone call that you have, meals on the way home, bedtime. You've now prayed 9 times at least in your day. That's a lot of praying. You got to make that happen, though. You got to choose to make that happen. It just doesn't happen. And then, if you're doing that and choosing to make that happen, spontaneous prayers will occur all throughout the day, like the other day when I was backing up and I hit a pole in the parking lot. And, you know, you jump out to see if your car is wrecked, right? Because you don't really care about the pole. I mean, that's what it's there for, right? And I jump back in the car, and yes, no damage. So what do you think I did? I prayed, man. I was like, "Yes, God, thank you so much. I know it was stupid. I should have been paying more attention. I'm sorry. I confess that, but thank you for doing that." Spontaneous prayer. My kid loses his camera. We pray. God said no to that one. How about I get a text. I get a text and someone says, "Please pray for me." I stop right then. I prepare to preach. I stop right then. Spontaneous prayer happens all the time. So now I'm